You do pass out. Hand, not pass out, but hand out the please. Yeah, I feel like I should just say amen. Because everything that we have seen in the last, 40, 50 minutes, all has built up, not even that long, 30 minutes, has been built up to everything that I'm sharing today. And it's just wonderful how the Spirit of God leads us to where we need to be. And being Valentine's, it's always good to take what the world has to offer and kick it up a big notch. Like Emerald, he kicks up the recipes. God's word is so much farther than grander than what the world could ever do. But you know, God put love in each one of us as part of the creation. And that's why we're all seeking to be loved. But the only great love we will ever find is God's amazing love in his word, in his spirit, in that relationship. And love's about a relationship. It's not something that you can buy. It's in spending time. God is love, and he loves each one of us. We know that in our minds, but often we forget about that he has chosen us to be a child of his. And the first verse we're going to look at this morning is 1 John 3:1. And see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. That is what we are. We are children of God. And as a child, we have protection. We need protection. We need guidance. We need direction. And having a child, you have to have a parent. And I know with raising three children and watching our six grandchildren, it's really important that we set a standard and an example for them. And God has truly, in the love that he had for his son, there's no greater love than his giving his son to die for us, that he could redeem us. So love is his love is a great thing. And we look a lot in the word about what we are to do, to love one another, and God wants us to love him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and others as ourselves. But we forget that love first came from him. He loved first. And so this morning we're going to look at God's love, his amazing love. And I trust you, it will really bless you. I grew up thinking that God was, kind of an ogre. He had certain rules and regulations, and you needed to follow them. And if you messed up, you could go into a box and ask for forgiveness. Go confess your sins. And you never really had that intimate relationship. But by the time I was 19 years old, a lot of my friends were leaving the faith, the church. And I didn't have anything to convince them that they should stay. Because I too was looking. In fact, I asked my father, how do you know you're doing God's will? And he said, you find out when you die. And at 19 years old, that was not the answer I wanted. I wanted definitive. I guess I'm kind of a rules person. I want to do what's right. I was one of 10 children. I was the first girl, and I took over the household responsibilities at 12 because my mom had asthma so bad. And I knew that God loved me, that God would watch over the things that I asked him. I knew he would answer prayers, my prayers. But I didn't understand who Jesus Christ was. And so I would tell my friends, don't worry, be happy, because I would worry for them. Until I finally realized I could talk to God in ask him questions. So I asked God to show me the truth. And I happened to be, I was in Europe at the time with my sister. We were gone for 6 months traveling, and I met a lot of young people that were looking for answers to life. And all I had was my catechism. God is the supreme being. I didn't have anything tangible for them to understand. So finally, when I went to Sunday, we were working there. I went to church on Sunday in the afternoon because I was working a split shift. The doors to the church were closed, locked. And so I thought, I knew there was no mass at the time, but I could go and sit and talk to God. Well, the doors had a chain, a huge chain on them. And so I thought, well, I'll either get struck down and die because I committed a mortal sin, or maybe there was something else to life that God wanted for me. So at that moment, I asked him, show me the truth. And within, at that same time, a friend of mine was up in the Bay Area for the summer. He got witnessed to. And by the time I came home in December, gave a letter to my dad because he came back to San Diego for school. And he said, I think I found what you're looking for. And the date on that letter was about the same time that I asked God to show me the truth. I was in Germany. He was in Northern California. And when God is that big for each one of us, that when we ask, we will receive. And the thing is, we need to expect that he's that big, that he loves us that much, that he moves mountains for us. That's how big he is. He'll move any mountain for you. And you think about, well, I don't know if all these mountains need to be moved, but that's not the mountain he's talking about. The mountains are those challenges we have in our life. Maybe you have a little toe that you just banged up and it's purple. And you think, well, I don't know if I want to bother him with that. But doesn't that affect your whole body? Sure it does. Just like in the body of Christ, all of us are important members of that body. And if one member has a hurt, an owie, we all suffer, right? So God is that big that he wants to take such good care of us. So this morning, we're going to look at the depth of his love. And recently, I have a friend in Oregon who is part of a women's fellowship that I'm a part of. It's a Zoom fellowship. And she has a tremendous prayer life. And she journals. I journal too and write down my prayers. And then I write down what God has to tell me. And, you know, if my kids called, James would call and say, hi, Mom, I love you, and then hung up, I'd be kind of disappointed because he didn't allow me to say the same thing back or just to say, what's going on? And God's the same way. He wants to know what's going on in your life. For he says, come boldly into my throne of grace. Sit there. Spend some time. So we need to... very important part of our life as a child of God is to spend time with him. And he wants to talk to us. And I think what for me to get clear on what he's saying is I write it down. So Tammy wrote this wonderful inspiration called God's Amazing Love. And that's what I'm going to start with this morning. And you all have a handout. And the first page is what she had written, and I wrote verses, the bold part is what she wrote, and then I put verses on there to share on it. And then the second page, the second part of my sharing is a few of God's illustrations of his love and character. And this is kind of your homework, because we're not going to go through all these. I'll go briefly through them. But I want you to delve into God's word and see how important your life is and his love for you. And then the third part of the sharing is, how do we respond to God's love? Okay? So, we're going to start on God's amazing love. God of all comfort always loves, for he is love. And in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by." Now, what is the God of? All comfort, right? He's certainly told us that. And that's so important, because in a parent, when a child stumbles, and they do all the time. In fact, when Susie had her first child, I said, "Why don't we just buy a helmet for him? Because he's going to fall, and maybe it'll protect him." But God protects us. He is a God of all comfort. So when we have challenges, we go to him, and we ask him, "How? Help me." So, how much do you love us? And that was the second line that she had in his sharing. How much do you love us? And you think about that. That's a huge question, because if we don't know how much God loves us, we're never going to receive the full benefit of his love. So we all know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's how big it is. God gave his Son. He allowed his Son. That was his. He had to legally redeem us back. And Jesus Christ had to give his life. Well, God's never asked any of us to give our children his lives. And it says there's no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. We are his friends. Jesus says that. So the next is the question needs a heavenly perspective. And I love that, because we try to narrow God into our five senses, but he's so much greater. He can't be put in a box. He can't be put in a building. He's in each one of our hearts. So this is his perspective. God's love is not limited or measured. It has no borders or bounds. It is not held by time or behavior. It is fresh every moment, without expectation or condition. There's nothing that can hinder us from God's love. We can't sin so great that he won't forgive us. He is the God of all forgiveness. His seed is incorruptible. So he sees us as we are righteous. We have the righteousness of Christ in us. So he sees us as he would see Christ. And he loved his Son. And I have some verses here that go with it. One of the greatest ones, I think, in expressing God's, how amazing his love is, in Ephesians 3:20, which says, "Now unto him which is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us." He's given us power that we can have exceedingly abundantly all the things that we need. And I love it. I think he said, I call myself sometimes an overachiever, because I try to do as much as I can. And I think God is way, way, way greater than anything we could ever imagine, because he wants us to ask him to give us, he's able, he's making himself available to bless us, not just to bless us, I like that, but to bless us exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or think. Isn't that amazing? It is amazing. So even if that's the only verse you came home with today, that's how big your Heavenly Father loves you. And that's where his perspective is, bringing us up to his level, where he is. Because this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So we don't want to entertain the world. It just distracts us. It gives us fear. If there's fear, then there's no love there. We need to perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. So I love that. There's just no mixing. There's no gray area when it comes to our relationship with the Heavenly Father. God's love is unalterable. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Unaffected by circumstances or a human response, He doesn't need us to say, you know, I'm so thankful. He just is there because He is so good, and He will take care of us. There's things that He takes care of us, protects us from, that we don't even know. He sets up, He sees, He knows what's, He knows our thoughts before we speak them. He knows where we're going, and if there's a situation that we need help with, He's figured it out already. So why not just praise Him? Because every moment of the day, there's something to be thankful for in our lives. It is outside of our ability to interfere with. We can't interfere with God's love. We can't cut Him off. Well, I take that back. That's our ability, because we have freedom of will to cut Him off. But He won't be off, because He dwells with us. He can't go somewhere else. It doesn't matter what you do. He's not going to go anywhere else. He has His dwelling in each one of us. It was determined in the beginning of time itself. Ephesians 1:4 says, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight." In love, He did that. Isn't that amazing? Before He even formed the world, He chose us. That's amazing love. God never changes His mind about you. Here in enraptured everlasting security, we know nothing can alter our place as His beloved. This is where you come in union with your Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And John 17:3 says, "And this is eternal life, that we might know Him, the one true God, and His Son, Jesus Christ." And that to know is an experience, a relationship, intimate relationship. So God's heart is, I want you as a child. I want to take care of you. So that's for the union that this relationship is. Hearing our Father's voice is more than direction. It's an intimate fellowship with the lover of our soul. And He's provided us a spiritual language, speaking in tongues, and the manifestations of the Spirit, so that we can communicate with Him. But speaking in tongues, it says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." He's given us something perfect. We magnify Him, and when we speak in tongues, we make intercession for the saints according by our tongues. He can talk to us. That's why we need to spend more time expecting that he has a message for us. And we become Christ-like. As we become Christ-like, we learn how loved we are. Our eyes see compassion. Our ears are trained by love. The sweetest part of the journey is not what we do, but with whom we do it with. Isn't that wonderful? God is taking you on an eternal journey of unending love. And I thought that was just, God's spiritual perspective is, there's nothing that can separate us from Him. He is just so good. How about a few illustrations that God has used in His Word of His love and character? There's so many, but I chose a few, and with references, and I really encourage you to spend some time looking these up. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We know that Jesus Christ was the good shepherd. We see that in the Gospels. But God is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. He doesn't lead me in the waves, these huge waves that we have to fight through, the still waters, so that we can have peace. If you don't have peace in there's anything in your life that does not have peace, go to the Father and expect it. Talk to Him about it. Receive it, because His peace is there. Psalm 139 is a great section of God's Word that talks about how precious we are to the Father. It says, how precious, verse 17 and 18 says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God, for great is the sum of them. If I should count them, you would be more, and they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. That's how precious his love is toward each one of us. He knows every thought. We can maybe hold our hands over our ears, but it's always going to come, because he is love, and we are his children. We want to always speak loving thoughts to our children, and he's always there. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31, it starts off with, have you not heard, have you not seen, that the Lord God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, neither faints nor is weary. Some more characteristics of him. There's nothing that is going to wear him out. You think sometimes we just get worn out by dumb things that we do, or maybe our children do, but nothing wears him out. He doesn't faint. He's not so, we can't surprise him. But those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And that's what it's all about. We trust in him. We allow him to work in our lives. Another section of his illustration of his love is, can a woman forget her nursing child? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. You know, that's one of the most intimate relationships, is a mom nursing her child. And the God compares himself to that. I will never forget you. If a child asks of his father bread, will he give him a stone? You think, well, that's kind of dumb. Well, in the Eastern culture, some of their bread was probably pretty rock hard, and it had a round texture. It was brown, and it's just saying, you know, of course a father wouldn't give a child a stone. But some maybe would. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? That's very important. And that's talking about the Spirit, too. So check out that. And then the parable of the forgiving father, or the good father, is, I think, remarkable. The patience, the love, the father allows his son to leave, and he waits for his son to return. And he gives him back his status as a son. He wanted to come back as a servant. And then we see his love in the life of Jesus Christ. It says, Bob quoted this before, John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. And what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us is truly love. And Jesus said, I can in my own self do nothing. He needed the Father, and we are the same. We were built with that same love, that same spirit that Jesus Christ had, the same DNA. So we can look at the Gospels, and what Jesus did, it says we can do that and more. So if you want to look at some of the things that you could do, look at what the life of Jesus Christ did. Look at the book of Acts, all the miracles, the transformations that came because the truth was, and the Holy Spirit was living. And then how do we respond to God's love? And this was another inspirational devotional that I read recently. And we have the hope of Christ's return. And it's called, My Son Will Return Soon. And the last verse of the Bible in Revelation 22:21, it says, My son will, soon he will return. And it says, as promised, he is coming for you and the rest of my family. As much as we all long for this joyous reunion, you do not have to stand there watching the sky as Jesus' disciples did when he returned to heaven. We don't have to be looking up at the sky all the time and thinking, okay, where are you, Lord? I'm ready. Instead, I have a job for you. keep communicating with me and keep talking, taking in my love. As you receive this love, lavish it on others, especially the least among you. Keep imitating my Son and being led by my Spirit. These are the actions that will be rewarded in eternity. Jesus is coming for you, dear one. This is a promise your heart can rest in fully as you watch, listen, and serve. The rooms are ready. The gate is open. I can't wait to wrap you in my arms. And that's from Grit and Grace, a 365-day devotional journal. And 1 Corinthians, I'll close with this, 16:13 says, be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. And in the manifestations, courage and be on guard were both spoken of. And that's when Joshua was leading the children of Israel into the promised land. God said, be strong and have a good courage. Well, today, there's a lot going on. And we stand fully equipped to stand against the wiles of the adversary. So we have a lot to do. We have an amazing Father who loves us and has given us, set this plan for each one of us. So let's do it together, loving one another and loving our amazing Father. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. So Father, I thank you for your amazing love, for your grace, for your abounding courage that you give us to deal with this world that we live in, that we don't need to have one foot in and one foot out, that we are all in with you, that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So we are reminded of every moment of the day that you want sweet fellowship with us and that you want to comfort us, to bring us courage, to give us boldness. I thank you for putting people in our path that we can truly love and that they can see your love greater and greater and see their purpose in this life. So until your Son returns, Father, we receive all that you have for us and we share it with others, loving one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you, Jeannie.
Thank you.
Okay, well, let's have a great week this week, loving with the love of God, huh? We got some special refreshments. Mm-hmm. Pick up a CD and enjoy or share it with others. And if you want an orange, those are available too. All right, God bless you all.
God bless you.